Vanderbilt University Medical Center is proud to present Vanderbilt Health Radio, your guide to the latest in healthcare research and treatments. Here's your host, Debbie Allen.
You're listening on NashvilleNetRadio.com, where Music City talks online, powered by WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. The most common reason people put off having knee or hip replacement surgery would be what? Everybody guesses pain, yes. So we're talking about pain management after total joint replacement, which has probably resulted in the greatest improvement of recovery for patients receiving total hips and knees in the last 30 years. You can find more information on joint replacement at VanderbiltHealth.com/orthopedics. That's VanderbiltHealth.com/orthopedics. We're talking with Dr. Richard Driesnack. He is an assistant professor of orthopedics and rehabilitation at Vanderbilt. Dr. Driesnack, good to have you on Vanderbilt Health Radio.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
All right, pain. I know a lot of people would need this kind of surgery, but I think they're scared of the pain.
Well, that's exactly right, Debbie. Probably the most common reason that I've encountered in the last 20 years in my clinical practice is that people are just afraid of the pain, especially if they've, you know, known people that are that have gone through this in the past, and they've struggled with the pain, and they complain, and they tell all their friends about it, and the friend's response is, I'm not going to have that done to my knee. So pain management is really what I'd like to cover today, and there are some exciting advances over the last decade that I've been able to utilize.
Great.
And that has really made a huge difference.
All right. How much pain can I expect post-operation?
Well, everybody is different. People respond to pain differently, and some procedures are more complicated and more pain-producing than other procedures. So everybody is individualized.
All right, of course, I know you have to undergo anesthesia, right, and pain control, probably before, during, and after surgery.
Yes, that's where things are pretty clearly different than in the distant past. When I first started practice, everyone had general anesthesia where they were completely asleep. They had a breathing tube down their throat. They woke up with intense pain in the recovery room. They had a lot of nausea, and they all got pain shots in the muscle, IM injections of Demerol. And they were sedated, and it took them forever to get out of bed, etc. Things nowadays are different. We have split up the management of pain into three basic areas. One is before surgery, the other is during the operation, and the final one is after surgery.
Talk about what's done before surgery.
Okay, this is probably the newest area of pain management overall, and there are things that we can give to people ahead of their operation. This whole topic is called preemptive analgesia. Preemptive because you try to treat the pain before it occurs, kind of a novel concept. So for my patients, the routine now is that a mixture of four or five different medications, oral medications, are given before surgery ahead of time in the preoperative holding area. And all of those medications work differently to get at different aspects of the pain pathways. Some medications can even be started the night before surgery. And anesthesia providers are great at kind of integrating the techniques of the next step, which is in the operating room, with the preemptive techniques that we use ahead of time.
So all the stuff you're talking about doing ahead of time from a patient's perspective, that sounds wonderful because you're warding off the pain before it even begins. I love that.
It's very effective intercepting those pain pathways. So all of those medications typically get given in the holding area right before surgery. And so within an hour or two of your operation, you take these medications. And the next step, then we move to the operating room, and that's the domain primarily of the anesthesiologists. And the anesthesiologists basically have two ways to administer anesthesia. One is general anesthesia. I kind of alluded to that at the beginning. It's not the best way to go as far as controlling pain and minimizing side effects. The preference is regional anesthesia. And for total hips and knees, the best regional anesthetic to consider would be a spinal anesthetic. It sounds scary, but it shouldn't be. The techniques that are utilized nowadays are much safer than in the past. The needle is very tiny. It has a specially designed tip on it so that it's very effective in getting the medicine to where it's supposed to go.
Great.
For the medication that's injected for total knees, we add a little bit of Duramorph, which is a long-acting morphine substance, and that produces prolonged pain control as much as 12 to 18 hours, sometimes longer. But it's a two-edged sword. It has to be done very carefully and cautiously and in the correct doses.
If you didn't want to have a spinal, is there another alternative?
Not a good alternative for regional anesthesia. Epidural anesthesia is another form of regional, and the only difference between an epidural and a spinal is about a quarter of an inch, because the area in the back still has to be approached. But to allay one's fear, the anesthesiologists do put a lot of numbing medicine in the lower back before they initiate the spinal or the epidural.
And the epidural, same thing you'd have if you were having a baby?
Exactly. We can leave the epidural catheter in, though, a small, tiny little IV, and that means that to a great degree the epidural is controllable, and I like to use a combined epidural-spinal technique for my total hip replacements because when the Duramorph wears off later that afternoon or evening, then the epidural catheter gives the anesthesia providers an excellent way to administer additional medication without giving them the nausea stuff. And so that works very, very well. And that epidural is pulled the next morning after surgery.
If you've just clicked on to Vanderbilt Health Radio, we're talking with Dr. Richard Driesnack. He's an assistant professor of orthopedics and rehabilitation at Vanderbilt. We're talking about pain management after total joint replacement. So post-operatively, what kinds of things are there new that you can do to eliminate pain? And can you totally eliminate it?
Sometimes you can totally eliminate it. Total hip replacements are a little different than total knee replacements in terms of post-operative pain management. First of all, we continue all of those medications that we gave preemptively in the preoperative phase. We continue those postoperatively. Some of those are newer medications that are just given during the hospital stay period, about 3 days or so. In terms of total hip replacements, that long-acting Duramorph that I utilize in the spinal anesthetic is very effective for controlling a majority of pain. And the one comment I'll make about total hips as well is that they generally do not have as much pain as total knee replacement patients do. Total knee replacements do have a lot of pain unless it's managed properly. And the two different things that we use there can be administered either in the recovery room or preoperatively as well. And those involve placement of peripheral nerve catheters. The two nerves that provide most of the pain sensation for a total knee replacement are named the femoral nerve and the sciatic nerve. And those can be numbed with a Novocaine type of substance by infusing it through a small catheter that's placed using ultrasound guidance very, very close to the nerve, usually in the groin or in the buttock area. And that allows, again, a controllable analgesic or controllable pain relief after the operation. That has worked very well.
Let's talk about the pros and cons. Yeah, let's talk about the pros and cons of narcotic pain medication.
Well, the whole goal of this pain management program and protocol that we have developed is to decrease and minimize, hopefully eliminate, the use of narcotic medications. Narcotics are two-edged swords. Yes, they're good for pain control, but they also, in a great number of patients, produce pain, nausea, sedation, disorientation, and just overall malaise. You feel yucky. And some people have that last for days. And that really interferes with the whole point of what we're trying to do with the recovery process, which is to get someone out of bed, hopefully the day of surgery if possible, but with minimal discomfort, minimal nausea, no yucky feeling, because that really kills the whole success of the rehabilitation program.
All right. Are there other negatives?
Narcotics are, course, addictive, and that's the one downside. And I will say this about narcotics as well. Patients who require narcotics before their operation never do as well as patients who do not require narcotics. They tend to have a blunting effect on your brain's pain management systems. And if you're dependent on narcotics before surgery, you will need more and more pain medications after surgery. Now, the programs that I've outlined are helpful, but clearly my patients who are on narcotic medicines for a long time before their operations, they never do as well. And then, of course, you have the issue of getting off of those narcotics at some point in the future as well.
All right, so everybody wants rapid recovery. You want to come in, get these done, eliminate your pain, and you want to get back to your normal life. So is that the main benefit of controlling all the pain?
Well, trying to control the pain effectively, if successful, will allow a patient to have a rapid recovery, to leave the hospital in the shortest amount of time possible, to have a good relationship with their physical therapist, and make rapid, steady progress. And, of course, who likes pain anyway? Nobody likes pain. So the ultimate benefit is that it's a much more pleasant experience going through the process of getting your hip or knee replaced. It is not infrequent that someone comes back to the office and says to me, I wish I hadn't waited so long.
Talking with Dr. Richard Driesnack, Assistant Professor of Orthopedics and Rehab at Vanderbilt. I'm Debbie Allen. Thanks for listening to Vanderbilt Health Radio.